あの日僕の心は今日も泣き崩れ去った。壊れて叫んでも消し去った。
Hey everybody, welcome to your Thursday, November 8th Jumpcast, the only manga podcast that's been re-elected for 4 more months. Joining me this week is Greg Lemieux, or shit. Alright, you guys are one person now. Mike Lemieux and Greg Jan.
Is this like our head is on each other's shoulders?
Yes. Like that Mr. Burns episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah, or that guy on Venture Brothers. Which is more
recent. No, you're just my Smithers.
Alright, so I think Kubo Tite is listening to our podcast.
It's getting rather suspicious. I kind of blew it off last week, but
like, I'm not going to say he's definitely not, but the possibility is there. Because when was it we joked about that, oh, after this, Unohana is going to come and they're going to save Byakuya?
Last week? Yeah, last week I said that.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So, okay.
He's
from the
totally
start,
dead, guys. Totally.
They kind of write off the fact that the medical team wasn't there by the fact that it was their job to stay behind and come clean up afterwards.
Yes,
yeah, Yama, it was their job to do nothing.
Yama told them to stay there. Because,
which I get. Like, okay, they couldn't have saved him anyway. He was cutting.
But I thought that her Bankai was supposed to be, like, the most powerful thing ever, right?
I don't think he remembers that.
That was in a book or something.
We've never seen it, and that makes us think that it could be powerful.
Yeah, everybody is scared of her.
It's Bleach, so it very likely just doesn't matter now. So Ichigo's like, he's meeting with everybody and making sure everyone's okay. And he talks to, what's his name? The guy with the visored Arankar?
Oh, Hirako.
Shinji.
Yeah, Shinji Hirako.
Oh, well, yeah. Before that, actually, we find out, oh, hey, by the way, Urahara and the other guys in Hueco-Mundo, they're doing fine. We're not gonna, you know, say anything.
Yeah, that's
about
the laziest way to do
yeah,
it. Like,
we're
got
not
a
gonna
message.
Say anything
they're okay
about that sword that was drawn at him and was being held at his face. That's just gonna continue to be something that you don't know about, but they're fine.
Well, this is assuming that Urahara actually sent that message and not somebody else.
That is too subtle for Kubo.
Yeah. I think whatever he had planned, he's changed directions and is trying to go somewhere else.
The thing I like about this chapter is that Hanamaru is there. And wait, is it Hanamaru or Hanataro? Yeah.
Yeah.
And they never say his name, like you're just supposed to know who he is after having not appeared for like 300 chapters.
He was in Soul Society briefly, wasn't he?
Yeah,
like that arc?
He was a character in the Soul Society arc.
He was the wimpy medical guy that followed him around for a little while.
He was the, you know, healer for when Orihime wasn't there.
And also, Ikaku was briefly there.
Yes. Worried that Kenpachi died.
But he didn't, because Kenpachi and Byakuya are alive.
So are Rukia and Renji.
Well, we kind of
Rukia and Renji, I'm okay with them living, because there was not several issues of them dying.
I'm also okay with Kenpachi living. Because
it was off-screen, it's disappointing, but that he was beaten, that is, but.
But Byakuya, like, oh my god, like, the way they do it, too, of just having a person go like, oh yeah, by the way, Byakuya is alive.
Yeah.
But he's in a coma.
Yes.
Because.
So that he can come back in a dramatic fashion at some other point to save Ichigo.
Oh yeah, they say they're not going to be in any condition to fight anytime soon. How much do you want to bet? Kenpachi is right there on the front lines with him heading into Hueco-Mundo.
No, he's not.
I'm betting
front
what
lines
happens.
He's going to be like in the second wave that comes to rescue them again.
Like a sword's coming down on Chad and he can't block it, and then all of a sudden, bang, Kenpachi's there blocking it, saying,
"Here is my theory. Ichigo trains with them in some sort of coma dream world to get a new sword."
So he goes into 1970s San Francisco and he jumps from sword to sword,
hoping that the next jump is going to be the one that brings him home.
So I suppose this is the point where I should point out, as I posted in our thread, that I realized if I add one more generation, then all of the terrible theories can get wrapped up together. So I'm going to go with Juha Bakht is Ichigo's grandfather and his mother's father, and the Soul Society King, who's the guy who leads the Zero Squad and whatnot, is his grandfather on his dad's side. So
the thing that bothers me about the Juha Bakht being the grandfather thing is that it's really plausible.
Yeah.
I like when I was reading that, I was like, oh god, that's going to be it, isn't it?
I like how this whole thing suddenly becomes like a Southern Family feud.
Just all gets wrapped up, and then Ichigo is kind of like the chosen child who is everything.
So as far as this chapter goes, the rest of it's pretty much just mourning...
Genryu-sama.
Yeah. And...
Ichigo being sad.
Yeah, Shunsui's alive, and he looks even more awesome than ever with his badass eye patch.
Well, I guess now he's taking the role as the leader.
Yeah, which works. I'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, he was Genryu-sai's son. Yeah.
I know that if I want to have somebody leading me, it's the person who's had half of his brain blown out through his eye socket.
The person who very obviously did not win his fight.
He's just going to be sitting there at the throne and suddenly yell, pudding, pudding everywhere, and then fall over. Now see, the eye patch works, because now when he's an old man, he'll look really cool.
Yes. Did Genryu-sai have a...
He had
a scar over his eye, didn't he?
He had scars everywhere, yeah. To look cool when he was an old man.
Yes.
That's how you
See, it turns out he didn't actually lose his eye, and that's just a... It's just one of those, like, eating your Raiatsu eye patches...
What if he thought it was a regular eye patch and put it on and doesn't realize? It's like, oh god, I feel terrible with this on.
I feel so weak. Also, Komamura looks kind of badass without the ear anymore.
Yeah, he lost an ear. Everyone else seems pretty okay after their near-death experiences.
So they insist that they're still the Gotei 13.
Yeah.
But there aren't 13 of them anymore.
No, there's 13 squads.
Yeah.
Still. It's just that they're down one captain.
Yes, and one vice captain. There's nobody left in the first division. So someone's going to have to... Promotion time.
Who ended up replacing all the guards that are betrayed on Aizen?
The visor dudes.
They stepped in.
Yeah.
The way, not all of them are up in Soul Society either. There's the one girl one who was down on Earth who was shown at the beginning of this arc and then never mentioned again.
Yeah, like five of them stayed behind and five of them went to Soul Society. I think that's how the split went.
Yeah. Two of them are captains, one of them's a vice captain, right?
Yeah.
Up in Soul Society? Yeah.
Is Hirasha?
Not sure what happened. Yeah, I think that only three of them went to Soul Society.
Yeah. Kensei, Shinji, and another one. Oh, Rose, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
So in the long term, this whole Byakuya dying thing is not the stupidest thing that happened in this arc.
It's just that...
In a vacuum, it's very stupid.
I kind of want to go back and, like, count how many panels he had dying. You know what I mean?
See, if it had just been, like, him blasted up against that wall and they hadn't gone back to him, I don't think I would have had a problem with them saying they saved him. Because when they're like, oh, okay, he was near death. It's just repeatedly going like, oh, he's dead. Oh, no, wait, he's still talking. Okay, now he's dead. No, wait. Okay, now he's dead. See, his sword's dissolving. No, wait, actually, he's alive.
Yeah, the sword dissolving one is the one that really gets me. Because they established before that was, hey, this means death. And yet, like, I can understand Ichigo's sword... You know, him sticking around despite that, because he's the hero. He's supposed to break those rules.
Yeah.
But it's Byakuya surviving in this coma life thing.
Be funny, though, if, like, his sword actually, like, his Zanpakuto left him because he was that near death, and now he's not going to be able to fight.
Yeah, but then Ichigo's going to get his back, and then he'll get his back afterwards.
Something.
Yeah. It's one more bullet point in the long line of Bleach stupidness.
I didn't mind this chapter too much outside of the Byakuya thing just being ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous that he survived. Oh, man.
Although apparently...
In an offhanded comment.
We didn't mention that Ichigo is having his crisis of conscience of apparently being half Quincy.
Yeah, he hasn't told anyone. He's keeping it to himself.
And it's going to come out at some stupid time.
and then people will betray him. No.
It makes me think that his mom is going to show up as a villain, and then they're going to attack, and he's going to stop them. Or insist he does it himself. Because nobody knows. We'll see. I kind of hate talking about Bleach now.
It'll get better.
I don't. It amuses me.
I think, like, by laws of nature, it has to get better.
Because there's nowhere to go lower?
Yeah. Oh, there's plenty of room for this thing to go lower. Let's not kid ourselves.
What is the worst thing you can think of this manga doing at this point?
Cutting back to Hueco Mundo and Orihime Chad and Urahara are dead. That would be pretty terrible. Cheap.
It'd be cheap, but it would be a plot improvement.
Yeah, I guess.
I could stand to raise the stakes a little bit.
I think the problem with the Byakuya thing is we knew he was going to survive after the fifth time they said he was dying. It's just that he telegraphs that stuff way too much, and it makes it all just uninteresting in the end.
Yeah. Well, it's all a problem with the pacing. Because the manga is so slow, and we're able to dissect everything so much, everything becomes predictable.
And I think it's also that character deaths don't matter that much when you start throwing them around arbitrarily. Like, okay, so yeah, Genryusai died, but why isn't, like, if only he died and the rest of the Soul Captain survived, that's not really that interesting. That doesn't make it that big of an invasion or a war.
Yeah, they needed to have some serious carnage.
That's one important person in what was supposed to be a bloodbath. And
it's an important person to know that the audience reading the manga doesn't care about at all.
We never see much of Genryusai except at the start of arcs going like, well, we don't need to send them help because blah, blah, blah. So,
like, Byakuya would have been a huge hit.
Yeah. Especially
Kenpachi would have been a huge
especially hit. Especially not just for raising the stakes reasons, but also for character development. To have Rukia have to deal with her brother being dead, too.
Yeah.
That would give her a stake in wanting to defeat the Quincy's.
Like, he's attempting to, you know, reduce, make it seem like they've lost so much because they did lose, hypothetically, Byakuya and Kenpachi for the fight. But it's a fake one because he doesn't want to kill off the characters so they can be there at the end after everything's wrapped up.
I mean, when a character death is used well, it can. I mean, remember when Jiraiya died in Naruto? How big a shock that was?
Because, like, we had Naruto as the cipher to go through to feel that kind of loss. And here he's trying to do the same thing with the captains, but, like, I don't remember a time Sui Fong was so incredibly admiring of Genryusai that she'd react like this.
Yeah. But,
or that I care that she does. Because I don't really care about Sui Fong that much.
Like, the most emotional attachment you could get would be if Jushiro and Shunsui were sad about it. You know, his sons.
Yeah.
But they're not. They're just like...
They're stepping up and taking the role.
Yeah, they're the ones going, okay, let's not really dwell on this. Let's just go.
Meanwhile, if you had, like, Kenpachi dying or Byakuya dying, and you had Ichigo or Rukio or Renji to deal with that, characters you know better, then it would have made a lot more sense. It just he assumes because he knows the characters so well and he's so attached to these characters that the audience is as well. And I think that's one of the bigger problems with Bleach as a whole.
Yeah, a lot of the characters that there is a lot of focus on, well, not necessarily even a lot of focus on, but just so much of the cast is kind of viewed as an outsider. We don't see things from their perspective. We are kind of a observer looking in on their stuff, but outside of that main core group, there's no real perspective from their perspective. That wasn't the word that I was looking for, but yeah.
It also doesn't help that let's be honest, a lot of these captains are just window dressing.
Yeah.
Like the wolf guy. What has he really done in this manga for how much he's been...
He got in that one fight with Kenpachi and got his mask knocked off.
Yeah, that was it. That's it.
Well, no, he also had the, like...
He had the backstory with the blind guy.
Yeah, he had the backstory with, I'm trying to remember his name, but I can't, but when he betrayed.
Tosin,
yeah.
Yeah, Tosin. So they had the entire thing going on where they were best buds and the one betrayed, and then, you know, he didn't even end up being the person who took him out, but...
That reminds me, I don't think we ever told you, Imran, but Tosin turned into a giant bug.
I think I remember you telling me that.
Okay.
I think I remember calling it stupid. I can see why you'd not remember that, because Bleach, everything's stupid.
It's not
no, it was just kind of out of nowhere. It was the reveal that, yeah, they gave themselves hollow powers, and his is to make him look like a giant bug.
And no, Gin and Aizen did not do anything close to that. I guess Aizen turned into a monster, didn't he?
Yeah.
Anyway, back to this chapter.
So, I mean, like, the thing I was trying to get at is that, like, when I think Kubo Tite is the kind of character designer that when he designs a character, he makes up their entire story in his head. He knows exactly where they're going. Like, he gives them all the backstory, but he doesn't express that through the manga.
I mean, even the flashbacks we got for Yamamoto before he died, like, didn't really feel like they were even about him.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, there's this mysterious guy that's under him, and okay, it's over. That's it.
Like, he had the flashback about Sasakibe, whatever his name is. But it was about Sasakibe. It didn't really show anything about Genryusai, except that he once had a student who became his vice captain.
Imagine if there'd been like a 3 or 4 chapter just flashback, you know, little story about, like, from the time of the forming of the Gotei 13.
Right.
And now he's already shown he can do that stuff, right? Because when he went back and showed the when the Vizards became the Vizard, that was like, I would say that's the best arc post Soul Society.
Yeah, that was great, the flashback stuff.
Yeah, that was really cool. There was interesting stuff going on. It was really well done.
It was mysterious. Like, it had that sense of impending dread.
Yeah, because you knew something was going to happen. You didn't know exactly what. Now, I will say that I was slightly disappointed with what the end result for everything happening was.
Yeah.
But it was still really well implemented. It was well done.
It was good storytelling.
Yeah, if you haven't gone back and read those, Imran, I actually highly recommend reading those.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get the feeling that Bleach is a manga that worked much better as a product of momentum than it does of one standing still and observing. Because that's what Soul Society was. Soul Society was essentially endless momentum until the end.
Yeah, that was like, you know, bust in, oh shit, run for like the whole thing.
Yeah,
and One Piece does that extremely well, and he would have done better emulating that style than whatever he's doing now.
I mean, in this manga, war breaks down to, like, we're going to stand here in this open field and talk for a little while, and then clash for one chapter.
And then a guy dies.
Yeah.
I have to say, I think that just going with that momentum run thing, my favorite moment of Bleach is still the one where he appears, stops the execution, and then takes out 3 of the lieutenants without using his sword. Like, sequence right there was just kind of like the ultimate Bleach moment.
And it seems like he builds those moments, but the stuff in between them is just like,
I think he'd do better with a tournament manga like Yu Yu Hakusho. Like, if he just did something that broke down to just, all right, we're just going to get into fights of the week for X number of years, I think that would probably work out a lot better for him, because then he'd get to express the characters through flashbacks and through fighting. Which is really all he seems to really want to do.
I'd agree with that.
It's beaten to death, but he needs a writer. I think what we can all agree is that writing is the weak point of Bleach. It's certainly not the art and the characters. Those are fine.
I feel like he probably has good ideas, he just has a terrible ability to express them.
Right, so if he could get a partner, you know, and they could work together.
Or at least somebody like a good editor.
But then they would have to split that sweet, sweet money.
Because I think we can agree that the story of Bleach is not the basic idea is not terrible, and the things that happen in the broader sense are not terrible. It's just the way it's all executed.
It took Yu Yu Hakusho in a different direction, and it should have been as good. It just sort of fell apart.
I don't necessarily know if I'd agree broad story wise.
Well,
at least with some of the stuff, but
I mean, like, ignoring some of the finer details that we hate, but just,
I think the idea of Human Soul Reaper. And getting into more, like, at the beginning, it really did seem fight of the week sort of style.
Well, yeah, no, okay, but I guess the thing is just that the coherency that was there early in the series when it comes to, okay, there's the Hollows, there's the Soul Reapers, and then even, like, it was still coherent when they introduced the Arrancar and stuff like that, but it's kind of spun out of control and isn't really makes sense anymore.
Yeah, I guess
I don't think he should make a manga that needs to make sense. That's the big problem, that's a big problem, that he tries to make the story overly complicated when it doesn't need to be. Like, to put another manga comparison, Dragon Ball. One of the biggest things about Dragon Ball is that Akira Toriyama made decently complicated characters in incredibly simple situations. Like, they don't express the fact that they're decently complicated, but if you've seen the entire series from beginning to end, those characters have more depth in them than you would think.
Did you guys ever read Zombie Powder?
No.
It's
no.
Kubo Tite's previous manga to Bleach.
I've seen some pictures of it, but that's about it.
I read it a long time ago, and I think I remember liking it. But I might go back and reread it just to see, because that's a shorter manga, too. I don't know if it got canceled or just finished, but... Yeah, it looks like it got canceled, so...
Well, I mean, he found success, and good for him. It just... He doesn't know what to do with it.
Well, you know, and in the world of manga where things get axed pretty quickly, maybe you just stick with what's working and don't worry about it.
Like, we were talking during the podcast last week and a bit after about how there's clearly some editors at Jump that are just ruining things.
Yeah, how like they're taking some of the really series good ones changed.
I kind of wonder if there's an editor that's giving bad advice or he's just being incredibly hands-off with Bleach. Because it's...
Well,
it's
it wouldn't surprise me if it's one of the series that once he reached a certain point, he was able to override his editor's opinion.
I kind of wonder, like, I'm sure Oda can do that. Because Oda, he has the clout and he's shown that he can produce the quality. But, I mean, at some point, someone should have taken Kubo Tite aside and said, all right, here's what we're going to do to fix this. And they never did, and that's what's confusing me about this one.
You know what was weird is at the start of the last arc, that seemed like that's what they were doing. Like they had hit a big reset button on the manga, but then it just all went right back to the same stuff. Because they did a time skip and he didn't have Soul Reaper powers anymore and like wasn't concerned with Soul Society anymore and didn't have any contact with them. But then it just all kind of came right back in.
Well, such is life.
All right, I feel like we're done talking about Bleach now.
So speaking of something that changes up frequently.
On to Beelzebub?
Yeah, I don't know.
Which is round two of the couples contest.
Oh, man.
Which they tease us with the idea that it's going to be a tournament.
Yes.
Yeah, well, they show the bracket, so I was wrong. The final round is not going to be like four people. It is going down to two pairs.
Yeah. And the first people are a lovey-dovey couple from St. Nishiyama and Kanzaki and Paco.
Yeah, Mitani and Oka are their rivals in this.
They were sickeningly affectionate
in thinking that they were the only people who knew the Princess Carry technique.
I gotta say, I love Paco and Kanzaki as a pair. Just the way they play off of each other.
Yeah.
So
they're.
I am expecting this thing to stick around after the.
A boxing ring emerges from the floor.
It does that gag manga thing of, I don't know where this ring came from. This is so strange.
Why is there a hole in the gym floor all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Hey, there's some high schools that have... I know some that have swimming pools beneath the gym floor.
Well, at least we know they have a boxing club, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, then they find out that the first round is the indirect kiss contest.
Which I guess this is a very Japanese thing.
Yeah.
Where they both have to drink from the same bottle because it's carbonated to the point of insanity.
And it's embarrassing because, you know, kissing is such an embarrassing thing and your lips have touched the same thing. So, you know, shocking.
This is a very romance manga thing of the indirect kiss.
Yeah, which, I mean, I feel like this is one of those things that in America people will be like, oh...
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Whatever.
Americans would go, okay, sure, whatever. Take a swig, then turn over and kiss your partner sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, here, it's just... I don't know. I've shared soda bottles with friends and not even thought about it. Like,
you have indirectly kissed all of your friends.
Oh, I've indirectly kissed so many guys.
And all the people they've indirectly kissed.
Oh, man, I need to go get tested.
Yep.
Is there something you want to tell us, Mike?
For indirect herpes.
So at some point, Kanzaki and Paco just dropkick the other team.
Yes.
Because they're too lovey-dovey and they're doing too well.
Yes, and Paco's
and they're losing because they're too embarrassed to drink from the bottle.
They're fighting over who goes first because that'll be the person that doesn't have to...
indirectly kiss the other one.
Yes.
Because the assumption is, of course, they'll be able to do half in a single swig, obviously.
So the best gag in the manga was the next one, where a man, the quote-unquote judge appears and says, they deliberated and the drop kicks are okay, but nobody knows where the guy came from or why he's making proclamations about it.
Or why he's dressed like that or who he even is.
Yes.
He's just some random
I'm going
guy.
To allow this.
He just says he's the judge.
Yeah.
So Paco starts drinking and can't take anymore and gives the rest to Kenzaki.
And he plans to just hold it over his mouth and pour it in.
Which doesn't seem like a bad plan.
No. But
yeah, if you're going to be embarrassed about that, then, you know.
But that's still not good enough for Paco, and she knocks Kenzaki out with a single punch.
And then finishes the rest of the bottle. And the other best gag is after she knocks him out, they all look at the judge guy, and he says nothing.
Nah, he says, winner!
Well, after she finishes drinking it.
Yeah, like,
I also like how she punched him out over the other team.
Yes.
Yep.
I also like that leading up to this, Kenzaki said that now is the time for him to finally show off how strong he's become, and he gets punched out by Paco in one hit.
Well, that's his thing. Once he's about to show his strength, somebody else just beats him up.
Yeah, but Paco, of all people, though I guess we don't really know how strong she is. She is in the Red Tails, so you have to assume she
can... so you have to assume she's capable of fighting.
And then the next group is Fruichi and Nene.
Versus,
and
what are their names?
Oga's non-committal minions.
Yeah.
I can't remember their names.
The romance manga pair.
Yeah. Yes. And their game is that basically charades.
Yeah.
And the girls have to, they see the word, but the guys don't. And Nene's word, or Fujisaki's word is squirrel, and Nene's word is poop. So she has to gesture out poop.
So.
Doesn't seem like it would be terribly hard, you know, but.
Fuichi notices how, like, flustered Nene gets after seeing her word. So he realizes.
Well, and I mean, she says it's my topic is 100% perverted. So he assumes that it's a perverted word.
Like breasts or panties.
And he keeps riding this perverted train until Fujisaki screams out that her word is squirrel.
Yes, she does not understand the concept of charades. And then the best panel in the whole chapter is
just the two announcers.
No, it's Fuichi just...
No, that's not Fuichi, that's Kazu.
What? No, Fuichi pointing at the sky.
Oh, that one,
winner. Yeah.
Like he did something great?
Yeah, well, his self-confidence seems to be through the roof since the age of Fuichi. He's just like, yeah, I'll take it. Thanks, everybody.
It's like, I totally beat you guys.
Just the expression on his face, he just, without hesitation, takes credit for it.
It's like, you're number one. Continues.
Yeah, so then we get a quick panel of Tojo and what's her face? Shizuka.
I never remember her name. Yeah,
Shizuka moving on, and Aoi and Izuma moving on.
Yeah, but what the heck is Tojo's challenge?
She's like hitting him. He's wearing a bowl on his head, and she's hitting him with a hammer.
Well, she has a hump on her back or something.
Are they just
I have no idea what the heck is going on in that one. Like Kunieta, at least you can kind of figure out something of what's going on in that. But yeah,
culture.
Did Oga ever fight that guy?
No,
Izuma.
I don't think we've ever seen him fight. Period.
Yeah, we only ever saw like three.
Yeah,
of
didn't
them.
He like stop one of Oga's fights or something like that?
I think so. It was implied that he was really strong.
Yeah, like, it was implied that he was the strongest of the knights.
Yes.
I can see it ending there then.
With a fight.
Between Oga and Izuma, yeah.
At this, with the joke couple out, at this point it's got to end with them facing each other.
Nah, it's totally going to be Furuichi.
Actually, come to think of it, we saw the bracket.
Or Kenzaki and Paco.
We should be.
We did see a bracket.
Let me see. I'm going to see if they're on opposite sides of the bracket.
Kenzaki,
Yeah, they're on opposite sides of the bracket, so it's going to end with them.
Yep. That'll be interesting.
Oh, man.
But it's
Fuichi and Kuneda's team are going to meet in the semifinals. That's going to be great.
Right, so who's Oga fighting next?
Let's see. Oga and Hilda versus Tanaka and Kawashima.
I don't know who that is.
That doesn't sound like people we should know.
But yeah, this is a good chapter. Like, they've all been pretty good chapters.
Yeah, I'd say that this one was less interesting than most of the other ones.
But it was.
I don't know. It was full of really good gags. I was laughing out loud at the Furuichi parts, but that's true of most episode, our issues.
Furuichi is just the best.
Yeah. I did like the one-page fake-out of, it's going to be a tournament. Wait, not really.
They even had a ring come out of the ground.
It is a tournament.
It is, but not in the shonen manga style.
It's an embarrassing romance tournament. So Oga's going to solve his fight with his challenge with violence, right?
Yeah,
of course. What else can Oga do?
I'm betting it's like a cooking contest, and like he just destroys the other team. Like literally destroys.
The judge will allow this.
The judge was such a great gag.
The judge really is my favorite part of this chapter.
Yeah. I'm hoping that it turns into a running gag the way that it was in that one Futurama episode.
Yeah. I hope this actually does end in a fight, but so far everything they've been doing otherwise has been great.
Yeah, I am definitely I look forward to Beals more every week than any other series at this point.
I mean, it's not hard to say that it's kind of the best one we cover.
I think it's because it's so unexpected what's going to happen each week.
Do you guys get the feeling that the mangaka hates romance manga? he reads a ton of it, but hates all of it.
Well, he always seems to be kind of lampooning everything.
But romance manga in particular in this one. And
I think that's just the nature of this arc, though. I don't think that that's any continuous thing that he's been doing. I think that it's just a convenient opportunity.
Do you mean specifically, drop-kicking the lovey-dovey couple? Like, that was cathartic?
This whole arc is basically a romance manga arc, but crazy.
That's true of every Beelzebub arc, though. It's like blank, but crazy.
I don't know, the Call of Duty arc. Well, I guess that's basically a war arc or a war manga not taken seriously because it's a video game.
Yeah, it had the tropes of like assembling the team and training and
Beelzebub's a great manga. It's gonna be sad when it eventually ends. Speaking of which,
it's not going to end. What are you talking about?
Weirdly, and I don't know that it's caught people who regularly read it by surprise, but it caught us by surprise. Reborn ended.
Oh yeah. That's what you're talk about.
They did say that the final battle or something like that in the one thing, and then what's it called? There's somebody that I know that reads it, and he was commenting that apparently they started having callbacks to the first chapter, which is usually a heavy indication of that.
Yeah, the chapter before this one was Suna realizing that how much he's grown since they first met kind of stuff. You know, like, wow, our adventures have really had an effect on me kind of stuff.
Now, Reborn was one that started as a gag manga and eventually moved to battle.
The plot of it is that Suna is your average kid. He's kind of dumb and clumsy, can't really do much. And a baby tutor, like a tutor that is a child, dressed in mafioso outfits, shows up and tells him he's going to be the 10th leader of this family that he is a descendant of, this Italian mob family. So, and then from there, they're using magic animals in their rings to shoot laser beams. Eventually.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So have you read the final chapter?
Yeah, I read the final one.
Does it make sense?
Yes. Last week it ended with Reborn, who's his tutor, finally saying, we have to decide whether you're going to be the leader or not. And this week was him saying, no, he doesn't want to be the leader, so Reborn leaves. And then life gets back to normal. And then it ends with Reborn coming back and saying, okay, you're not going to be the 10th. We're forming a new family, and you're the first. You know, and then it's just it has the kind of ending of just their adventures will continue kind of thing.
I wonder if it was planned then.
It's I don't know.
It hasn't been doing terrible in the rankings. I mean, it's been about Beelzebub level, hasn't it?
Yeah. As far as I can, just feeling go, it doesn't feel like a cancellation ending. It just feels like an I'm done kind of ending. This is as good a place as any to stop.
Maybe it wasn't one of those manga that was planned out entirely in the long run.
Because with something like that, what's the satisfying conclusion going to be? You know, because he's going to have to be an old man before he's actually becomes the leader. You're never going to take it that far.
Yeah.
So the arc they had just finished was one of a giant battle that involved every character he's ever met throughout the manga. So they already had the grand finale. You know, every familiar face there kind of thing.
It's one of the reasons that a lot of manga have that end goal, the grand line, or what was the becoming the king in Gash Bell.
Yeah, the demon king.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, so you know that once you do that, everyone knows that it's ending. And then once you ever go past that, the manga just becomes terrible. Like, Eye Shield 21.
God, I can't
believe
that. Or,
you know, like, Dragon Ball Z was obviously supposed, or Dragon Ball was obviously supposed to end with Frieza, and then it just kept on lurching on.
But that stayed at, I would say, equivalent quality.
I don't know.
Probably not better.
Boo
Arc was basically a parody of the rest of the series.
The Boo Arc was Akira Toriyama screaming that he wants out. But I think he was okay with making Cell.
I mean, even the Cell saga ended. Go ahead.
I was just gonna, Cell was kind of like, okay, let's try and come up with something that is more dangerous than this guy who already rules the galaxy that we've already talked about. Like it was really, really reaching, trying to go back. Okay, what's something that already exists that we can kind of tie in to make something that would actually be challenging?
Well, the interesting thing about the Cell War is that you could tell he wanted to end it, and that's why Goku died.
Yeah.
And Gohan became the most powerful being in the universe.
Man, I liked when Gohan was going to high school and being a secret superhero. That part was cool. I wish that would have lasted longer.
I think that was him trying to make it Dragon Ball again.
Yeah, and then I don't know if it was editors or just fans, but like he U-turned that car pretty hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess Goku's back, whatever.
Goku's back, ancient. I don't freaking care anymore. Just
here's another Goku Vegeta fight. Whatever.
Now they're gonna power up so much that their hair touches the ground. I don't know.
And they have giant like ridges on their face.
They look like cavemen now.
All right. So speaking of powering up really high, move on to Naruto
for the Kakashi Obito fight.
Yeah.
Yes.
If or you can Kakashi call just... it a fight.
Yeah.
I forgot Kakashi had dog powers.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I genuinely forgot that was a thing.
I didn't even make that connection of the dogs on the wall until you just said that.
Yeah. Like, he had Pakun, I think, was his dog's name.
Pakun?
Yeah, well, he's actually summoned a lot more than just that one. He's just the only one that talks.
Well, he's the only one we've seen talk, because the other ones all just kind of come in and out.
I mean, I assume they all talk, because all the toads talk as well.
Anyway,
yeah, true.
Kakashi,
I like
not really
fighting. Kakashi. Yeah, he's dodging all of Obito's attacks,
and he gets sucked into his eye,
and then comes back out because he has the same eye.
That's got to be a weird feeling, because you figure he probably went in Obito's eye and came out his own.
Yeah, he starts remembering all the things that he used to remember about Obito and realizes that this is because Rin died. I like the one line he had that Obito was always his hero.
Yeah. Well, Obito's death is what made him the man he is today. And
focused on the, you know, team before anything else and whatnot. Like, he completely adopted Obito's outlook on things.
I mean, I like this. I didn't consider that Kakashi would be having a crisis of character learning that Obito was even just alive.
Yeah. It's a, Obito always thought of Kakashi as this unattainable ninja he'd never be able to catch up to.
And Kakashi really thought highly of him, too.
Yeah, he thought of him as the unattainable ninja in terms of, like, principles and goals.
Yeah, spirit.
Obito was the gold standard for what he wanted to become as a person, and Kakashi was what Obito wanted to become as a ninja.
And now they're, like, diametrically opposed over Rin.
Yes.
Well, I mean, Rin was the catalyst, but now it's just the complete difference of what being alive means to them.
Yes.
And for Kakashi, it seems to mean that he has to protect Naruto at all costs. Because Naruto is what Naruto is the embodiment of the spirit he thought Obito once had.
Yeah. And then cuts back to the Naruto portion of the fight, and the tree is absorbing the chakra.
Yeah, he wasn't winning that fight as much as we thought from last chapter.
Well, the Nine Tails seems to be fine. It's just the Eight Tails that's getting beaten up.
But both of them are getting absorbed. Like, even Guy shouts out that it's absorbing the Ninetales chakra.
Yeah, his giant Ninetales Gundam goes away because it gets sucked into the tree.
Is Madara using Susanoo or something? Because he's covered in, like, a flame thing holding a sword.
Yeah, probably then.
I didn't know he was capable of using that one.
Susanoo, he used it against the Hokages.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right. He
giant.
Had, like, the complete Susanoo. And Itachi only had, like, an incomplete one.
But anyway, then it goes back to Kakashi and Obito, and then, honestly, it kind of seems like Kakashi stops fighting Obito for a little bit.
Yeah.
He was never, like, he even just stops dodging. He gets hit straight on by some giant ninja
the
stars.
Shurikens, and I kind of liked how it made the crosses across his chest, and then it shows the panel of the two of them as kids, and he has, like, the X on his chest from the gear.
So this is the part that confuses me. It seems like Naruto sees what's happening, makes a clone, and that clone uses Flash Step to get to Kakashi?
Yeah, he can use Flash Step.
How long has he known Flash Step?
He can't use he can't use the fourth thing to teleport because there was no like symbol thing there.
But he gets there way too fast.
Yeah,
like,
and
immediately
it says Flash. He used it against Kisame. Remember in the cave, like he was teleporting around. No,
it seems like
no,
something you'd have to learn from the fourth.
Because
he was the only one that could use
it. This is Naruto,
and the fourth thing, his teleporting was he had to have the kunai was what he used for it, remember?
Yes.
Where he could teleport to wherever the kunai was.
I'm going to do a little research. Let's come.
So this might be like a Ninetales variant of the Flash Step?
He's used it before. Let me go find.
Because he uses like a big chakra arm to grab the ninja star.
Yeah, and he uses a chakra arm to grab the Susanoo sword too.
Yeah, because he's in both places at once. He made the clone to get to Kakashi quick enough. Yeah,
it does say Flash. I guess that it's supposed to be his version of the Flash Step, something like that.
Kisame comes out of the sword. Starts talking, and then all of a sudden Naruto teleports in and punches him, and B goes, wait, that's the body flicker technique, just like the Golden Flash.
Yeah.
That's strange.
So apparently he can do it without the symbol, then.
Yeah, because he's got...
So he surpassed his father's major technique.
Yes, like back in chapter 505, so over 100 chapters ago.
Go fig.
Oh man, he was only in the cave 100 chapters ago?
Yeah, fighting Kisame. I don't know how you guys can't remember something that happened over 2 years ago.
I mean, in fairness, it's a pretty big deal that just they didn't make a big deal about.
Yeah, he just does it the one time. I don't think he's done it since. But yeah. So, Naruto interrupts both fights, which is pretty awesome. Those two fights.
And he protects Kakashi. And Kakashi has his moment of epiphany that Naruto is who
he taught Naruto Obito's words,
and Naruto he didn't take them to, because I mean, okay, here's the thing I don't like about Naruto villains, and Kishimoto pushes this button so hard so many times, but they're all Naruto.
They're
all
Naruto
if, gone,
if something had gone differently.
I mean,
Gaara is Naruto if they treated him worse his entire life. Sasuke is Naruto if he he didn't make the connection with friends.
Yeah, I mean, Gaara was the first best one, and since then it's variants of that.
Because Gaara was great because they had the whole mirror thing, and they set it up very obviously.
Yeah.
That Gaara fight was awesome. Like, the punch that it finished with.
Yeah.
Well, and then also, especially, the thing that I loved was the when he summoned the Toad and then turned him into the Ninetales.
Yeah. That fight was great because it showed that, you know, Naruto was just like that not too long ago, or it could have been just like that if not for Iruka.
Yeah.
Man, Iruka sure got the short end of the stick on the legacy thing, huh?
No one will ever remember him.
I'm sure that he'll get his moment in the final chapter.
So yeah, the final page spread is pretty awesome, too.
The
Raikiri on one hand.
And like the Rasengan frickin'
dragon thing.
Yeah. Just devouring the Susanoo.
Susanoo, yeah.
Double Raikiri.
So it shows that Naruto is still, like, incredibly strong, even at this point. There's been no chakra depletion on his part.
Yeah, well, he's got full access to the Ninetales, almost limitless reserves now.
Yeah.
I think having to worry about chakra is a thing of the past for Naruto.
Well, he has the Ninetales, so, you know.
My favorite thing about the Raikiri panel is that it's slicing through the extra ninja star that Obito grabs.
Yeah. The other one that he had. Well, he had cut him on Kakashi's chest before, but yeah, it just cuts straight through it.
The reason I like the ninja star symbolism here is that it reminds me of that first time they were with Kakashi when he got trapped in the Zabuza's jutsu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had that like ridiculously circuitous plan. And that was the moment that Kakashi was like, okay, I guess Naruto might not be the world's worst ninja.
Yeah. Well,
that was also probably the moment where I first, like, it was the first Naruto moment that was like, this is actually clever. There are a lot of clever and interesting things that can be done in this world.
For some reason, the two brothers they fight when they first left the village have always, like, stuck out.
The one that, like, poisoned Naruto?
Yes. God, I can't remember their names anymore, but the ones that hide in the puddles and have their, like, chain.
Yeah. They, like, hit Naruto in the hand, and they have to, like, perform surgery, so he just becomes an idiot and cuts himself.
Yeah. For some reason, that's always stuck out to me as being, like, the first moment where I was like, yeah, I like this manga.
I really, Greg, I really like the Zabuza one, but I watched it in the anime, and there were two entire episodes dedicated to that plan.
Yeah, no, I watched it on the anime first too, and that's what annoyed me. With the anime, I have to admit I did not get completely sold until the moment when the seal started breaking for the first time.
During
and just the animation in that, yeah, and on the bridge.
Oh yeah, when Haku goes to punch him and he just like jumps up and flips and it goes
all
like
sketchy. And the animation in that episode was just like, and nothing like it in the series prior to that, and honestly nothing like it that I had seen to that point.
Yeah,
and
that
was just
that
fantastic.
I think really that was like one of the, because I'd watched Toonami a lot, and that was maybe one of the first modern anime I started to watch, you know, like download, and yeah, I watched the anime too. I remember with the Zabuza plan specifically, there was the episode where they recapped it so hard that it went to the halfway commercial before of just recapping that plan, and then it came back and had 15 minutes of an actual episode.
But the Haku fight was the first time that I'd seen like computer filters applied to the animation after the fact.
Yeah.
And that was really neat.
When you think about it, Naruto really changed after that arc. Like, the whole tone of the series. Because I figured it would just be, you know, they go on adventures outside.
Well, they set up the whole mission structure thing of, like, here's how you know it's a good mission.
Yeah. And then right after that was the Chunin exam.
And then they never
which
went on a mission again.
And then, like, the Chunin exam was one of the best...
Yeah, it was probably, I would say, second best Naruto arc.
What would you say is the best?
Rescue Sasuke.
So you don't think that anything post-time skip has reached those two?
This comes close, but a lot of things, like, I was disappointed initially in the time skip because what they were setting up never actually came to fruition, which was the Konoha Civil War. That seemed really interesting, but they never actually pulled the trigger on it.
And maybe it just didn't play well, and...
Maybe. I mean, but it was obvious that they were trying to do it.
I don't think it was less a civil war, more a coup, I think is what they were trying to set up. Which kind of did happen with Danzo taking control for a little bit.
But it was boring and uninteresting when he did.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I would say Rescue Sasuke is the best arc because it's so obviously simple, but it had the best fights and had the best resolution to those fights.
It had Kidomaru in it.
The spider guy that no one ever talks about ever. And not even good enough to make it to the Ninja War. Haku was. Zabuza was.
Hey, Kabuto used him in that one attack. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Remember, like, 5 minutes ago in manga time?
But, like, 50 chapters ago?
Where I got excited.
Yeah, anyway,
remembered him.
This fight, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that it continues.
Now I want to know what you guys think of the favorite, or if you don't think that Rescue Sasuke is the best, which one do you think is better?
Chunin exam.
I'd probably put, I would put both of those two as, like, in the top three, but I don't know where I would rank each of the things. Like, I'm really enjoying, like, the problem with this arc is that it also includes things like Big Nose Kabuto. So, like, if we're talking about specific fights, there's that thing. But I also really, really enjoyed the Pain arc. Like, I thought that was top notch up until the, like...
The magic no jutsu?
Yeah.
Are you including, like, Jiraiya's death in that? Because if so, then I would agree that that...
Yeah, helps. Okay, Pain Arc is really good. It just, that last part ruins a lot of it.
Yeah, yeah, it just undoes a lot of the impact. But I thought...
Like, it literally undoes the impact.
I thought, start to finish, that was an that was by far the most solid post-time skip arc.
Which, again, is another Naruto villain that is Naruto.
Yeah.
Which I understand why Kishimoto does it. Like, that's his main theme of this manga. It's just that he does it without any subtlety at all.
I mean, yeah, we said Gaara was the first, but really Haku was the first. And, I mean, his power was literally mirrors.
Yeah. And then during the Gaara arc, there was constantly just black panels of Naruto and Gaara standing across from each other.
And then at the end, white panels of them standing across from each other.
Yes.
Symbolism.
Because Gaara realized that he doesn't have to be evil. And you know, his Jonin teacher took that a lot better than you would have thought.
Yeah. Also,
someone who pushed it on him completely.
Gaara never really had to answer for all the people he murdered during that arc.
Yeah, and there was also the entire thing of like, well, he's still possessed by this one creature that makes it so he can't sleep, which is part of the reason that he was driven insane, but, you know.
Now he's better.
And he still has most of those powers after he lost it.
Well, yeah, no, it was originally, what was it called? That it was supposed to be, that like that instant protection thing was supposed to be
Couldn't be hurt,
but it actually turned out to be his mom's ability, and she like shrouded him in it.
You don't
wait, what?
You don't remember?
You don't remember this?
It turned into his mom and hugged him.
I don't remember this at all. When was this?
Oh, jeez.
It was in the fight against who's its face?
Against his father. It happened during the war arc that it was revealed. Like, it was never explained how he still had the instant protection sand power after he lost.
I assumed he was just, you know, being more careful. No, like, still had sand jutsu.
No, wait, is it just... What's that guy's name? The raccoon dude.
I don't remember.
Starts with an S.
Yeah.
He sounds way different than you think he would.
Right, here's a question that I've never actually seen an answer to. Are Temari and Konkoro his actual brother and sister?
Yes.
Yes.
They don't seem as bummed that they lost their mom.
They're dicks?
Like, they've never actually brought it up, as far as I know.
Shukaku, okay.
Yeah, that's the first.
Yeah, I don't know. They seem more favored by their father, so they grew up to be dicks like he is. But now they're not.
But they weren't really dicks. Okay. I mean, Konkoro was kind of a dick.
Now they're not, because they're happy.
Konkoro was... He was funny.
Yeah.
And...
Well, everyone went... Like, they got the good guy no jutsu thing after the war.
Yeah.
Because nobody had to answer for the fact that they... Pretty much.
And they also got to come back during the Rescue Sasuke arc to have some awesome fights.
I mean, yeah. Like, I mean, the teacher...
Gaara and Lee versus Kimimaro was just fantastic.
As far as Gaara not having an answer for his crimes, that teacher, he, like, mutilated that guy's body and left it
as a warning.
The roof for his, like, girlfriend to find.
And then...
Then she swore vengeance, and nothing ever came of it.
Yeah, Kakashi was at the graveyard saying that he was going to kill who was responsible. And this was after the war. And yet, like, literally 2 years later, they were shaking hands when Gaara was captured.
They were reviving him after he had been killed. I wonder if Gaara just never told anyone. Just like, did you kill anyone during the war? No.
Speaking of Lee, the Lee-Gaara fight is if I had to put Chunin Exam over Rescue Sasuke, that fight would be why.
Yeah, that's why I don't hesitate, because the Forest of Death, the fights, Naruto versus Gaara is an amazing fight.
But yeah, and then here it is. Openly weeps after learning that his mother truly did love him and that she had vowed to protect him forever by infusing her will into his sand.
Where did Kishimoto get that idea of, like, parents infusing chakra into things? Because he's been using it a lot.
Well, maybe he grounded up his mother and put it into...
into his veins.
Yeah, an IV drip.
So, yeah, that's what they should have gone with originally, because that would have driven him insane.
His mother was a Jinchuriki, and they ground her up and put her in him so that he would get possessed too.
And his aunt slash possibly uncle, I forget which, tried to kill him.
It was an uncle that looked like his mother. Because because anime.
I remember that being very confusing.
Then he blew up.
Because his mother now can stop him? Whatever. All right, so any thoughts on this issue of Naruto?
I like
it. Was good. I want more.
I love Kakashi being a person again and having character growth within this chapter. It was awesome.
Well, everything he thought he knew had just come crashing down.
Yeah, I still want to know what happened with Rin. I know we're not going to see that until the end of the fight, but...
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a deathbed thing.
Yeah.
Obito's dying and Kakashi explains what happened.
Man, how crazy would it be if he just kind of doesn't answer that? Like, it was something that happened, and we have to assume that there is a reason why, but it's never shown.
What is this, Bleach?
I'm just picturing Obito, like, just tell me one thing, Kakashi. Why? And then Kakashi just goes, it's classified. Walks away. A ninja to the end.
I'm guaranteeing there's going to be some sort of, like, he shows him through genjutsu or something like that.
Like, they're there observing the day.
Yeah. And Obito, like, lets loose a tear, then decides it's okay to die. Alright, so on to One Piece.
Yeah.
And Caribou has apparently, like, safely gotten away?
Well, yeah, I think that there was nobody else on the ship with him, and then it hit a storm, and so the ship was ruined, and he's just kind of in a lifeboat.
Dancing.
Divine punishment. So yeah, I guess that's probably it. I'll laugh if he ends up back at Merman Island.
Or Jinbei finds him again or something like that.
Yeah.
I do wonder where this is going.
A big circle seems likely to me.
Then Jinbei takes him back to CP5 or G5, and then his brother shows up again to save him.
All right, so speaking of big circles... Zoro has grabbed Tashigi and is heading straight for somewhere.
Yeah, I do think it's funny that it says Winner Zoro instead of Winner Tashigi. I think it would have been funnier if they had just put Winner Tashigi because he told her that she could take all the credit.
I don't know. I find this adorable, him carrying her on his shoulder.
And then she geeks out about the sword.
Yes.
That was can't the let best someone part.
Well, she doesn't like him holding all those swords.
Yeah. She wants to get all the swords away from bad people like him.
Yes.
So we jump to Nami and Co. fighting the giant children.
Alright, so going through this whole thing is going to be...
heartbreaking.
Annoying. Well, that too. But basically, Chopper tries to sedate the children, but he can't do it all on his own. And they catch up to Mocha eventually, and she eats all the medicine.
And... to prevent it from being exposed to anybody else. Or because she's a giant junkie, you know.
Yeah.
The addiction just got too much. She had to get her fix.
Yes.
Which
kills her.
Normally, in a pre One Piece death world, I wouldn't worry about this. But all bets are off at this point.
And then it goes into a flashback, which is always a good sign.
And then a flashback within a flashback.
Of her remembering her friends all wanting to get together and
grow old together.
Get on a ship and sail the oceans.
What do they say?
And she promised that she'd do anything to stop or keep them from dying.
Yeah.
This
and then
this
Chopper
chapter,
blames himself.
This chapter made me feel things.
Yes, I couldn't hold all these feels.
Yeah, right in the feels. Now, so how much of this children stuff do you think is brought on by the fact that he has a kid himself now?
A lot.
Doesn't he have a daughter? So
yes, he has a little girl about like. Younger than that, but...
Yeah, she's like,
you know,
two, I think.
Well, she's got to be two or... When did Strong World come out? Because we can figure that out.
2010,
Two years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's two.
Well, she was born in the middle of the production,
2009, so...
Oh, it was 2009? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think she was born shortly before it came out, so yeah, she's probably three now. Probably about the age Mocha is. Well, no,
Mocha is
five.
Mocha's like
three.
Six.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's six or seven.
Still, probably walking and looking like one of these children.
Yeah. And her being incredibly selfless and eating all the candy and Chopper freaking out.
Yeah. Well, you know, she just basically ate a bag of cyanide.
Yes. To save her friends from eating the cyanide. And the blood, the coughing blood, that's what got me.
Well, I think it's her grabbing her own neck while she's like vomiting blood that...
And all the kids are, like, blaming her for, you know, this is what happens.
Well, they finally, when they start seeing the blood, starts freaking out and realizing what's going on.
I mean, One Piece is not exactly realistically drawn, but a little girl, like, dying is still a little disturbing.
Yes. It's...
And then Sanji shows up.
And they start beating up the kids.
Who are not doing anything.
Suppress their movements, incapacitate them without using violence.
I love the pose, though, of him, you know, fist in the air, charged.
Yeah. Yes. And yet another panel where Nico Robin looks like Boa Hancock. Like,
yeah. Okay, so I forgot about this until I read it just now, but is there a panel where there's two Robins?
She can clone herself now. It's been shown.
Can she?
Yeah.
Okay.
That is a post-time skip ability that has been shown.
I thought it was just like an art mistake or something.
I don't know whether it's something that's happened in this chapter. Like, I'm not sure where that is, but it is something that can happen now, yes.
They've implied it, like, heavily. That one. Oh, yeah, there is two of her.
Because I saw that, I was like, this seems weird. I didn't know she could clone herself.
Yeah, no, that is her, one of her power-ups, is that she can clone herself, basically.
I think the last time we saw it, wasn't it like... kind of a thing where she was in two places when she wasn't supposed to be, and somebody thought that was weird, but it was never.
Yeah, like, and she was talking in both of them. It was during Fishman Island, but yeah,
that would explain why I don't remember it.
but yeah,
with how much she looks like Hancock now, I hope that there's some point in the future where, like, that is lampshaded, where they actually think she is her, or like they have to infiltrate a place and she goes in pretending to be her or something like that.
For any other manga, I would say there's no way they leave Hancock out forever, because she's just too popular.
I know that she's going to come back at some point, which I'm excited to climax when everybody else comes back.
Yeah, it's Oda.
They got to sell more mouse pads. She's got to come back.
I mean, he has Nami and Robin. It's not like he needs to. But she's so ridiculously popular, any other mangaka would have bent over backward at this point.
She would have already shown up and demanded to join the crew and...
Yeah. I think Oda can just be like, whatever, no.
So, Chopper has, like, the deathbed thing of telling her that she's going to be alright, which...
Yeah.
I don't know, can he actually save her? Because he's internal monologuing about how this is his fault and that kind of stuff.
This would be
so going to go
fucking...
into surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be just too grim if she died. I cannot imagine they would do that.
Yeah. I mean...
They're gonna save
her.
Yes,
people have died in One Piece, but this is still One Piece. She's gonna live.
What I was thinking is, what if she gets superpowers from eating so many, like, hormone candies? And then
so, 10th crew member?
Mocha for 10th crew member is what you're saying?
11th. We've already decided that Kinemon and the dragon are joining.
Well, would,
okay,
would
my,
it be
my theory is
then?
That they...
Yeah.
They do give her a devil fruit of some sort. Like, maybe the axolotl fruit or something.
Yeah, maybe that would save her.
I'm not sure how, but...
That sounds like One Piece logic, though.
I would be legitimately bummed if she died.
Yeah, she's not going to die.
I don't think that she's
going to die.
No.
This is not seinen. They don't kill children.
So, how crazy would it be if she did, though?
Oh, man.
But
Chopper.
Yeah, I do have to admit, I think that Kinemon and his son are just going to be temporary things, kind of like how Vivi was.
You think they're going
yeah.
to...
I don't think he's going to stick around.
You think they're going to, what's the place called, Waco? No.
Yeah, I think that that's going to be the next stop, is my guess, is that they're going to take them back there.
Yeah.
I think they're going to go after Doflamingo.
Well, he might, yeah.
I can see Kinemon doing it, because he seemingly has grips within Momonosuke.
And if they take out Doflamingo, he might be free of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we were talking about Hancock, and then we see Luffy with,
Momonosuke.
Yeah.
Wrapped around him a lot
like a boa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like boa usually has her snakes.
Yeah. Looking seemingly asleep.
Yeah. He probably used up all of his powers and passed out.
Yeah.
I did like the one line Chopper had about how Caesar Crown is like crazy and evil, but our captain is way crazier.
Just not evil.
Yeah. Which is kind of like, I mean, we're talking about how every villain in Naruto is Naruto. Like, every villain in One Piece is the complete opposite of Luffy. They have these ridiculously circuitous plans and ambitions for greed, and Luffy doesn't want any of that. He has really simple plans and just wants to find One Piece. That's it.
But the thing is, their dreams are in the way of his dreams, and it's much worse than beating them up, which is why he doesn't worry about them after the fact, because he beats up their dreams. That is
which
actually,
is stupid, because
that is actually an answer that Oda has given in a question.
It's just the excuse he gives to Buggy continually coming back. Like, I guess, you know, Luffy doesn't care because he beat up their dreams. He didn't beat up Buggy's anything.
No, Buggy's just looking for treasure now. He doesn't care about anything else.
Wasn't he always just looking for treasure?
No, he wanted to find... well, I guess he was looking for a map of the Grand Line was the thing. Or no, wait, that was... What's-his-face?
He was looking for John's treasure at this point, isn't he?
Yeah, well, that's what the armband thing is, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's got that now, doesn't he?
So he's hypothetically should be getting it. So, obviously, next time when Buggy shows up, he is not only going to be a Shishibukai, he's going to be filthy, filthy rich.
Did we ever confirm that he was the other Shishibukai?
No.
Okay, it was just a theory?
It was not disconfirmed, though.
Yeah, right. And he was visited by one of those bats, which is how it was shown that somebody else became a Shishibukai.
And if I recall correctly, when they had, like, Oda had that exhibit of, like, the current wanted posters, Buggy's was missing or something like that?
Well, it was crossed out or whatever. Yeah. The other Shishibukai, so.
Yeah, it was called off.
Yeah. So it's basically, we more or less know, they just haven't outright said it.
Yeah. It's, what's the term for that? When it's confirmed but not confirmed, but everybody knows it's
open secret.
Yeah, it's an open secret that he's the Shichibukai.
Yeah, this chapter, man.
And he's gonna be totally rich, and then that's gonna be how King Wapple comes back in, because he's also totally rich, and they're gonna be best.
I bet he takes over for Doflamingo when Luffy beats him up, and ends up becoming like the Don of the pirate world.
So, what do you guys think is gonna happen next week? Oh wait.
Oh yeah, One Piece is off next week. So we're going to have to wait a little bit longer to see if Mocha dies.
No.
Mocha.
I still think there's a legitimate chance.
I can't.
Oh, I was knowing about One Piece being off. I don't care whether Mocha lives or dies.
Oh, you're a monster. I'm with Imran. I can't handle all these feels.
Yeah.
I can't deal with this in my One Piece.
I guess I read too much dark stuff that I wasn't... I mean, it was sad, but... wasn't depressing.
And I read dark stuff too. Hey, I saw a new chapter of Berserk came out.
Yep. And there is no date for when the next chapter of Berserk's gonna be.
Perfect.
There was a new Idolmaster game recently, so...
Did you say Idolmaster?
Idolmaster.
Yeah. There you go.
Words.
But yeah, the Berserk chapter was just kind of a one-off sort of thing where it was back with the Band of the Hawk.
That's great. Just come back for a chapter that doesn't even have any bearing on the story, and then not have a date for when it's coming back again.
Yep.
The popular thing I've seen is people saying that since the last chapter they've reread the series, and they had forgotten so much stuff because it's been years and years and years since that.
Oh yeah,
you
could do that with the newest arc because it's been years and years and years.
Fantastic. I love that Berserk is the Duke Nukem Forever of manga. Except that it's just slowly trickling out instead of just not coming out forever.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying. I think he's down to, like, one volume a year, if that.
Jeez. And that's seinen, so that's, what, like, five chapters a volume?
No, the chapters are only 15 pages now or something like that. So the shorter ones, like...
I assumed they were, like, 30 because they took so long to come out.
Well, no, hypothetically, it's in a bi-weekly, so it's every other week should be a new chapter when there are chapters coming out. But the thing is just that they don't come out that frequently. Now, the art is amazing. Like, I mean, that is part of the reason it's taking so long, is that the art is absolutely gorgeous. There's so much detail, but...
Do you think there's a chance that he's actually working on them for that entire time?
If he doesn't have any assistance, yes.
Okay.
Now, I can't imagine that a series like that doesn't have assistance, but...
I heard a rumor that was recently squashed that the Hunter x Hunter guy was getting his wife to replace him for the manga.
God.
But I think she's shopping around something else anyway. So, probably not.
Also, I don't know if you ever saw the Sailor Moon manga, but I don't think she could fake the Hunter x Hunter style. She's got a very...
I'm sure it would change.
She's got a very shoujo style to how she draws stuff. Obviously.
I think probably he'd just tell her the story and then she'd write it. Or draw it.
And then Tuxedo Mask shows up.
And then everyone scatters.
Oh, I actually did. I just linked you guys to the first page, but I did notice something about this one. It does say Chapter of Elf Island. So holy shit, that thing that was like mentioned for the first time over a decade ago, they're finally going to get there, this chapter. Or like this, you know, they call each like chapter arcs. Is called an episode for whatever reason, and then arc is chapter, basically. In the internal nomenclature. But yeah.
I say we wrap this up.
Okay.
Sounds good.
This has been your Thursday, November 8th Jumpcast. Oh, guys, thank you for coming.
We should probably mention why we're not talking about Assassination Classroom.
Oh, yeah. It hasn't come out yet.
Yeah. So probably two next week. I don't know.
Yeah, it would have been the final one this week.
First place again.
Yeah, it's popular.
Also, there's a new series that apparently sucks, so don't read it.
Yeah, I think we talked about the one-shot, right?
Hungry Joker, that was it.
We talked about the one-shot a little bit last week.
We mentioned it, and I think we only said that Baby Grimjaw was in it.
Yeah, it's about a doctor or something. I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
Cancellation fodder.
Yep, and then next week is either a gag manga or a cooking series.
Yeah. Neither of which seems terribly interesting.
Yeah. Hey.
You only like the cooking series because all you saw was that one fan service picture.
Yeah.
This has been your Thursday, November 8th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Yep,
thank you.
See you later.
It's a buyer's market. Don't settle.
No, it's not.